I'm going to be talking a little bit about Revelation, and it's a smattering of verses. So if you have a Bible, I encourage you to be there. I'll be reading it as well, but it's a lot to put up on the screen, so I'll be dancing around a little bit. But it's called God's Revelation of Himself. God's Revelation of Himself. And if you know anything about the book of Revelation, it's different from any other book in the Bible, and it was written by a guy named John. And John is is the beloved apostle. He's the one that he always said that he was the one that Jesus loved him. And he was exiled to an island called Patmos, and he was pushed aside. Most of the disciples were killed, were murdered, were martyred for their faith. John just got thrown away. So he had this unbelievable, effective ministry, and the Roman Empire hated him for it. And they said, we're just going to get rid of you. We're going to put you off to the side. So here's a man who knew an influential, powerful ministry, and he just got pushed to the side in exile all by himself. But in the midst of this, what we see is that this wasn't wasted time for him. You know, like he pursued Jesus. He was with the Lord. For him, this was time to be with his Lord that he loved so much. And in that place, God revealed himself and downloaded this incredible message. And this book is actually, it says that you are blessed if you read this out loud. Think about that. The Bible says you are blessed if you read this out loud. So I encourage you to do that sometime, not silently, out loud. You'd be blessed if you do that. So anyway, this isn't just a message that's for us. This was a specific message for specific churches at a specific time. And it's this incredible revelation of who Jesus is. And as he talks, he first reveals himself, and the first chapter shows who Jesus is. And it's unbelievable. It says that he has hair as white as snow, has eyes like fire. It talks about, this is verse 15, his feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. It says his voice was like the roar of many waters. Have you ever been by a waterfall or something like that that's just raging and it's so deep and so full? And that's how it's describing the voice of Jesus. And one thing that it says, verse 16, it says, in his right hand he held the seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. Amazing. The sun shining in full strength. That, to me, really struck me this week, because in the haze of the smoke, I stared at the sun. Did you do that at all? You can actually look at the sun. Oh, look at that. That's the sun. But knowing that if there's no haze there, you would be absolutely, totally blinded by it. Like, you couldn't do it. You try sometimes, but your eyes won't let you look at the sun. And I was thinking about that, because the scripture says that Jesus lives in unapproachable light. Amazing that in the sky is the sun. That's a reminder of us of who Jesus lives. Jesus lives in unapproachable light. And we bask in the light of his presence, but we dare not stare at it because it's too much. Amazing. It actually says that when John saw him, he fell as if dead. He was just overcome with the presence of Jesus. And one of the things I want to tell you this morning is that when Jesus reveals himself, it's too much for us. In the fullness of who he is, we can't handle it. But what Jesus usually does is when he wants to speak to us, he does reveal himself. But it's not usually in his fullness. He reveals a facet of himself. And I was thinking about the brilliance of a diamond. And I remember when I was going to get engaged to Rachel, I began studying diamonds, and they're pretty amazing things, really expensive, but really beautiful, really amazing, and just all the facets of the diamonds. I mean, it just dances. It's so little, especially the one that I bought, so little, but so brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And Jesus is like that. Like, how do you sum the whole of who Jesus is? But when he wants to give us a message, he always reveals himself. It's never just like, hey, I'm Jesus, here I am. Like, when we introduce ourselves or give a message, we give a name. Here's who I am. When God reveals himself, he reveals who he is. And when he reveals himself, it always has to do with what his message is to the people. So I want to spend some time talking through these seven churches that Jesus wants to give a message to. And I want to bring up this point that he reveals himself to them before he even gives them the message. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And beloved, you need to know this, that he always reveals just what you need. He knows what you need. So he reveals who he is based on the message that he wants to give to you and what you need. So at the end of this, the question that I'm asking, and I'm still praying for this, and I want you to partake in this prayer as well, is, Jesus, what is your message for me? And Jesus, how do you want to reveal yourself to me? Because do you know what? It's going to be different for every person. And it's not because Jesus is different. It's because he always reveals himself specific to you. Isn't that amazing? It's unbelievable. So I'm going to be in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. And if I preached through this, it'd be 18 weeks. You know, like, it's so much stuff. But I really want to just highlight one thread throughout all of them. And really just to make a point. I'm not even going to delve in super deep. I'm really making a point. So chapter 2, Jesus is talking to John. He's like, this is the message that I want to give to this church in Ephesus. So first few verses of chapter 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus. And the angel is the messenger or the pastor, the leader of that church. So Jesus is speaking to the leader of the church that would communicate to the rest of the body here. The words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hands, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. So I'll explain that in a little bit. He says, I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and that you have not grown weary. Okay? So we see here that Jesus is saying, like, okay, here's the message to this church. He reveals who he is, and then he makes an observation of the church. And then verse 4, he has a message for the church. And it's usually a rebuke. He says, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you have at first. And then he gives them a command. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen, repent and do the things you did at first. If not, I'm going to come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And then he kind of goes back and says, yet this you have. You hate the work of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And then he gives instruction to the church. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And then hear this promise. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Amazing. Now, I'm not going to go through all that. Like, there's so much going on. But I want you to see there's this thread. He introduces himself. He says, this is who I am. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. He makes some observations about the church. He then reveals and cuts straight to the heart the condition of the church. And that's the message. I see this in you. And then he says, this is what's going to happen because of this. And then he gives them a command. But here's how you can repent, turn from what you're doing, and turn to what I'm asking you to. And then he always gives a promise at the end. So this is the rhythm of the messages that he's giving to the churches. But I want to just focus on that first part in the seven churches, how he reveals himself. So the book of Ephesus, He's saying, like, I know your works. I see everything about you. I see all the good things that you're doing. That's the observation that Jesus is making of the church. But his message was this: you lost your first love. You forgot what this is all about. So in light of that, this is how Jesus revealed himself. And this is the first few verses. He reveals himself as this: I am the one who holds the seven stars in my hand. Now for us, you might think, I have no idea what that's talking about. But if you read the first chapter, you realize that the stars are the messengers or the pastors. So what he's talking about is God's authority, that he holds these things. These things don't exist just because they exist. God is saying, I hold these things. I hold the stars in my hand, and I walk among the seven lampstands. And do you know what the seven lampstands are? They're the churches. So Jesus is talking about his absolute, complete authority. He says, I am holding these things. I am in complete control, and I walk amongst the golden lampstands. And that is talking about God's presence. So in that introduction, Jesus is saying, I have all authority here, and I am well aware of everything. And he is saying, and not only that, my presence is with you and is among you. So that is how Jesus is revealing himself in this message, that he is in control of the church. And the word holds in the Greek is an emphatic word. It is talking about a completeness, like he holds it completely. So, beloved, I want you to know this, like, as he looks at our church and the church, it's his church, and he holds it completely. Things aren't getting missed, or things aren't happening outside of his realm. He's not shaking his head saying, like, what are we going to do now? Oh, no. What are we going to do now? Jesus revealing himself is like, I hold everything, and I am perfectly in control, and I'm not worried. But I still have a word for you, church. Is that good? Amazing. So to that church in Ephesus, it talks about his authority and his presence. All right, I'm going to skip to the next church, which starts in verse 8. And this is the church of Smyrna. And Smyrna was a very wealthy city. But one thing that's interesting is that the Christians there were not wealthy. They were poor. And they were poor because of persecution. They were actually losing property and losing goods because of persecution. And actually in Hebrews 10:34, it talks about the early Christians joyfully accepting the plundering of their goods, knowing that they have an enduring possession for themselves in heaven. Is that amazing? There was property getting stripped away from them because they followed Christ. And there was this crisis of faith that they were having because they wanted to be faithful, but they were feeling the pressure of that hatred that was against them. So the message to the church in Smyrna was this: I know your tribulation. I know what you're going through. I see it. And I want you to know that you feel poor right now, but you're not poor. You are rich. And I am with you, and I want you to not fear. Is that so good? But I want you to see the revelation of who Jesus is. Before he gives the message, he says this: I am the first and the last. So in the midst of this persecution, this terrible reality of life, I am the first and the last. And it talks about God's eternal character. And in the first part of Revelation, he says, I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Like, I last forever. When life is hard, the thing that is probably the first to go is perspective. Because when life is hard, we're so engrossed in the moment, and the moment becomes everything. And Jesus is reminding them, I'm the first and the last. Stick with me. I'm outside of time. Remain faithful to the end. This is going to pass. This is going to go quickly. It doesn't seem like it now, but trust me. Trust me. I'm the first and last, and I am forever. And then he says this, who died and came to life. He was reminding them, you serve a risen Lord. They thought they killed me. They thought I would be dead. But do you know what? I did die. I was buried. But on the third day, I rose from the grave by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you, as my church, even though you feel dead right now, even though you feel like you are buried and there is no hope, you too will rise with me in the last day. Isn't that good? That's how Jesus revealed himself. Just perfectly to them in that place. Amen? Thank you, God. Death could not hold Jesus, and it can't hold you either. Isn't that awesome? See, Jesus speaks to us exactly what we need. To the church in Pergamum, this is verse 12. Again, Jesus talks to them, you've held fast to my name, you didn't deny my faith, but there's something wrong. There's teaching that you are agreeing with that's going to lead you astray. And do you know how Jesus reveals himself? So this is verse 12. The words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. So we have the persecuted church in Smyrna, and he's saying like, you know what? Death can't hold you down. But to this church who's believing a lie, who's teaching a lie, do you know how he reveals himself? I am the double-edged sword. That is who I am. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It divides bone and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And in chapter 1 of Revelation, the picture of Jesus with his flaming eyes and hair, and it says that his voice, out of his mouth comes a double-edged sword. And I've always, like, that's a quandary trying to think of that. But the picture is that the words that come out of his mouth divide. The words that come out of his mouth pierce the very core of who we are. So to this church who is living and believing a lie, he says, I am the double-edged sword, and I am about to divide you by the truth that comes out of my mouth. So to that church, he was talking about separation. You need to be separated, and you're going to be separated by the word of God. Amazing. I'm really giving you an overview. We could sit in each one of these, but it's unbelievable. I want you to see that God reveals himself specifically to a people. So the verse to the church in Thyatira, he talks about knowing their love, but that they tolerate something that God doesn't tolerate. And to that church, he says this. This is verse 18. These are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. He says, I am the Son of God. And when we hear the word son, we think, oh, there's a father, there's a son. But that word is not talking necessarily about the offspring. It's talking about the nature. So he says, I am the Son of God. I am in nature God. Philippians 2 talks about that, how Jesus, being in the form of God, not as in he's kind of like God, in his very nature, he is God. So Jesus is saying, I am the Son of God. It speaks of his deity. And I have eyes like flames of fire. That's talking about, I mean, can you think of that? Like flaming eyes, piercing judgment. Like those eyes see everything, you know? So this is a church that is tolerating things. So he's like, I am God and my eyes are like flames of fire and my feet are like burnished bronze. Speaking about their purity and their strength. That's how God reveals himself. So I can go on and on and on and on. But I want you to hear this. Each church, he shows himself differently. Are you seeing that? Each church, he is showing himself differently. And if you look at the whole Bible, you'll see that again and again and again. To a people in a certain place experiencing certain things in their life, he would reveal himself, not just by name, I'm God, I'm with you, but he would show his character specific to that people at that time. Is that amazing? He is such a personal God. You know, I think of a few instances in the Old Testament when Moses, God calls Moses. He was in Egypt for 40 years. He grew up in Pharaoh's house, and then he got shipped off to Midian, running for his life, and he was just cast off. And in that place, the Lord revealed to him in a burning bush, and he said, Moses, I'm calling you to rescue my people. I want you to go back to Egypt. You're going to be a deliverer, and you're going to rescue the people of God out of the grips of Pharaoh. And Moses is like, oh God, please pick someone else. You know, like, this is too much for me. Are you kidding me? I'm just a shepherd here in Midian. And God's like, I'm choosing you. And Moses is like, I sent someone else. I can't do this. I can't even speak. What are you doing? And then he says this, who am I going to say is going to go with me? Who am I going to say you are? Do you hear what Moses is saying? Like, I don't just need a God said I should do this. I need to know who you are. Who are you revealing yourself? How are you revealing yourself in this moment? And God said this, tell them I am sent you. Is that amazing? Tell them I am sent you. What an unbelievable revelation of who God is. The I am, the eternal, existing forever, all powerful, all present God. That's the one who's going with you. And that is how I'm revealing yourself. Isn't that amazing? Because the people need to know that God is over all things. The I am sent you. Isn't that amazing? You know, in the Old Testament, God has so many names. I think of me, I only have one name. And it's just John. It's pretty simple. It doesn't mean much. But God has so many names. Why is that? Because he is like a brilliant diamond. How can you hold the sum of who he is? And he specifically reveals himself to you at just the right time, in just the right way. Amen? Even in paradise right now, praying that God reveals himself to them. Not as just, I'm God, I'm here. But I am God, I am your comforter. I am God, I am your provider. I am God, I'm the one who loves you. I am the lover of your soul. Amen? Amen? How do you need God to reveal himself to you today? You know, I have two moments in my life I want to share. And these were two revelations of who God was in the Old Testament. And sometimes we read things in the Bible and we're like, that's really good. That's great. But sometimes it's hard for us to believe it or internalize it until he reveals himself to us in that way. There was a time, just two quick stories, and I've shared some of these before, but there was a time when I was without a job and I had no money. And I was broke beyond broke. And I had no idea how to provide for my family. No idea. I mean, it was ridiculous. But I just had this peace from God that he was going to provide. And beloved, I've seen this multiple times. And how again and again and again and again and again he provided for us. I remember this one time, Rachel and I decided we can't buy meat anymore. It's too expensive. We can't afford to eat meat. And the very next day, not one, but two people came to our front door with bags of just meat. Isn't that awesome? There was one time we had no money in the bank, and in one day, God provided a whole month. I remember getting a bill for $300 for something, and an unexpected bill. Like, I have no idea how I'm going to pay that. And I got a check from someone I barely knew for $300. You know, I remember not having a home to live a month and a day ago. not having a place to live, being homeless, and God provided a house for us to own in Sonoma County 1 month and 1 day after the fire, just like that. Do you know what? God has revealed himself to me as provider. He's revealed himself as provider. See, God just isn't God. He's God, my provider. Is that amazing? But sometimes he wants to reveal himself so that you will know that character about God. Amazing. There was this other time in my life where it was a really hard time, and I was really struggling with bitterness and anger and rage and was treated unfairly. And Rachel and I were both in a rough place. And in the midst of this, my second daughter was born. And her name is Mara. And Mara means bitter. And it spoke of where we are at in life. We were bitter. We were wounded. We were angry. And the story of Mara in the Old Testament is right after the Israelites left Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea. But they still had so much of Egypt in them. They still had so much of that lifestyle in them. And God had rescued them, brought them across the Red Sea, but that was still there. And they were thirsty, they were hungry, and they came to this water, and they were so thirsty and wanted to drink it, but it was bitter water. And they wanted to kill Moses and get rid of him. They were so angry. And Moses is crying out to God, like, what am I going to do? And he says, take a piece of wood and throw it into the water. And the water became sweet. Mara, the water, became sweet. And do you know what God revealed himself as? I am the Lord who heals you. And beloved, I want you to know that in that season of life where I was bitter, angry, wounded, hurt, mad, frustrated, that God showed himself as healer to me because he healed the bitterness of my soul. And do you know what? Years later, he made everything right. He revealed himself as, I'm the Lord who heals you. Is that amazing? I want to tell you today, and beloved, I could go on all day going through the scripture. So many stories of God's revelation to his people. But you need to know this, that God knows you. He sees you, and he wants to reveal himself to you right now where you are. Is that miraculous? What an amazing God we have. So my question for you, and I want this to haunt you all week long. God, how do you want to reveal yourself to me? That you would ask that. God, reveal yourself to me, not just as God, but what about God do you need to know right now? Not just hear, but know. See, when Jesus revealed himself in those seven churches, he's like, you need to know this about me. You need to know this about me. And the message goes with it. So this isn't just that this is who God is. This is a message to you as well. Do you see that? In the revelation is a message of who God is and what he is going to do. And sometimes it's a word of rebuke or challenge. He's going to change something. He wants to deal with something in your life. And sometimes it's just encouragement. I know you're discouraged, but I am the first and the last. And you need to know that I was at the beginning and I'm going to be at the end. Stick with me. We're going to walk this through. Amen? Let's close in worship. But can I encourage you to just pause before God? And I want to invite you to pray that prayer. God, how do you want to reveal yourself to me? You know, there's a song. This is an older song. It says, open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. And And that's probably the first thing. Do you even want to see Jesus? You know, each of those seven churches, it says this, he who has an ear, let him hear. Because not everyone wants to hear, and not everyone wants to see. But beloved, I'm praying for you that you would want to hear and want to see. God, give us a desire to hear from you. Give us a desire to see you. And God, I'm asking for a revelation of Jesus for each of us. God, I'm asking for a revelation of Jesus for our church, for our city, for our brothers and sisters in paradise. Reveal who you are, Jesus. God, thank you that you are not mysterious and distant, that you are closer than we even know. Amen. Amen.